Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, here we are on Thursday today.
A beautiful day that's supposed to lead into a very warm and beautiful Canada Day here in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, and not as hot as the warm spell we had last week. So it's going to be very fine, and I'm going to be enjoying it from the lovely view of my condo. And then also visiting my daughter. So it's not going anywhere, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of something going somewhere, are oil prices headed back up to $120 a barrel again?
Well, I saw that headline from a site that publishes opinion and data and stuff on oil. Well, it got up to, what did it get, 115 or something here recently. So let me see, how do we get that one? Nah, I can only get it through the derivative. But at any rate, I know where I've got it. In the crude oil, it's had some good innings lately. But the problem is the economy is kind of shutting down. Down 3.5% today on crude oil, and it reached, it did reach 120 2 weeks ago, it reached 120 here on the front month. Well, this is the August contract, so that's the front month. Yeah, it reached 120 here a couple of weeks ago, and sold off to 101. Bounced to, it looks like, about 111, and then today it's down to, let's call it 106. So, and then also you had the excitement of gasoline, too, with the headline there.
Mm-hmm. Now, a very interesting headline, Russia defaults on its foreign debt for the first time since 1918, which was just after the Soviet Revolution.
Oh, yeah, November 1917, I think, is when it really got underway. And then, of course, the collapse of the economy and money, scaring money out of the country and stuff like that. And the government ran out of the stuff required to service debt. And then with the Bolsheviks assuming control, they wouldn't want to honor it anyways, I guess. I think I vaguely recall reading something about that. So, but yeah, that's a major country in decline and also in serious financial decline. And a default like this is extremely important. And unfortunately, it's all part of the post-bubble contraction, where problems first appeared in Argentina and Turkey in March a year ago, and then since now a year ago, China was engulfed by the post-bubble contraction, and now obviously Russia is. So it's sad to see. Oh, also, remember, Jim, last year we used to talk about eventually the hits from the post-bubble contraction would eventually get the United States, and of course we can see that this year so far. So, yeah, not a pretty picture out there.
Now, we also have default jitters mounting in Argentina as local interest rate yields hit 70%. How can they pay that out?
Well, the numbers get pretty big. 70% is really high. But I don't know what the local rate of inflation is. So, somewhere those who are putting money at interest have got to be accommodated, and they are going to make sure that they get enough of a return to look after the depreciation of their currency unit. So, but yeah, 70%. That's quite noticeable.
Now, the cryptos have really taken it on the chin. Bitcoin, not long ago, was 69,000. Now it's 19. Are they just going to fade away, or will they hit a comfort level at some point?
No, our view on that, Jim, we had an incredible sell on that, on Bitcoin. Oh, God, it was the end of 2018, I think it was. It gave a very good technical sell. And then, other than that, we haven't commented on it too much, because the whole thing was such a big and powerful financial phenomenon, unseen in history, where you've had that big a market cap items doing percent gains that you get out of stocks going from pennies to $20. It was just amazing. But those mining stories are small cap stuff, but this is big cap. But as we outlined last year, the problem is it takes huge amounts of computer power, huge amounts of electricity to run the thing, and huge amounts of electricity to run the cooling apparatus to create these things, the bitcoins and cryptos. And then once you created them, there's a cost to maintaining those things. And the argument we had was, once the price turns down, the original promoters in the deal are going to look at their costs and say, hey, this is nasty, because, God, I've been in some mining promotion decades ago where you maybe had a cost of 12 cents a share on your stock, maybe underwritten at 25 cents, and that's it. And then you have an office, and I know when modern times came, a long time ago, when you could get a phone message device, and then it saved the cost of a secretary. So running a mining promotion with stock certificates is a whole lot cheaper than running these big crypto Bitcoin things, where the costs are immense. So, no, these things are going to go many of them will just disappear. They'll become like a junk bond, absolutely neglected, disappeared, zero, nothing, whatever. So it's going to be fascinating to watch.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, there's been a crash in cotton. What's the story there?
Oh, yeah. I put together a piece on that. On March 31st, I had a headline. You know, this was after the crash, to be sure. Then I found a headline from May 31st that the crop outlook in India was not that good, and that prices would continue to rally. And then about a week later, the market corrected back a little. And then on one trading day, it was down in the order of 30%. Now, the cotton contract around the world is a big and important commodity. But all of a sudden, bang. And then I found a couple of headlines that were that, the demand for final, like yarns and threads and whatever they call it, had suddenly been reduced. But overall, Jim, what we want to look at it is the phenomenon where suddenly something loses liquidity. Just gone. There were you think with a contract that big, a 30% drop might take 3 months. One day. So there's killer forces on the downside there. And that was the case remember March when nickel was in the huge short, and then once it got squeezed out and reversed, boom, straight down. So that's the pitfalls of being long on commodities when those new to the game have been really touting the story that 1970s type of inflation is going to come back. And we've argued that, no, this is highly unlikely. What the dominant force out there is that the inflation has been in stock and bond prices. And talking about the Bitcoin crypto, that's hyperinflation and those things. And then if we jump over to Europe and looked at the German 10-year bond, which got down to almost minus 1% nominal, minus anything nominal has never happened in history before. And so that was just a constant bid for the bond. And think of it as the bond price going up as being inflation in bond prices. And when you get them to go negative yields, that's hyperinflation in bond prices, in that particular bond. So anyways, it's all coming apart here. And on the story about 1970s inflation coming back and it was going to run away and run forever, is in the market. And all we did was note the excesses, like the standard, index is the CRB, Commodity Research Bureau or whatever it is, index. And, a couple of months ago, it got up there and, you know, excessive speculation. We had technical readings that were as high as they were at the two important peaks back in 2011 and 2008. So the whole story was in the market. And then our game has been that whatever positives would appear in the financial markets out there, that after whatever they got to by mid-year, i.e. around now, that after mid-year, then everything heads south because you've got seasonal forces. Like, lumber can set a seasonal high in June, then its seasonal low can be October. And copper, it can have two seasonal highs, one in March, which it did brilliantly, and then the other in July was somewhat of a rally. And now it's been weakening. So, but again, looking at the seasonal lows, copper typically can do a seasonal low in November. And then crude oil, the summer months on crude oil, for the last few years, the seasonals haven't been that good. But oftentimes there can be a wipeout in crude oil right down into a seasonal low in January and February. Now, I think that's what's going to happen this year. So the whole of the inflation is back story, the 1990s type of inflation story, is in the market, and there's a whole lot of people in there on the wrong story, and they have to get flushed out. So also, Jim, we should mention the gold side as well, because again, here is where our work has been different, because we've always reviewed gold's real price, where you take gold and deflate it by the rate of inflation. And it does a pattern that really guided us well over the last few years, is that during the final year or so of a great financial mania, gold's real price goes down, such that the gold stocks are non-performers. I mean, you're not going to beat the S&P with gold stocks, and indeed, gold stocks had quite a beat-up over the last couple of years. And then this year, early in the year, you had the rally on the inflation story, and then, boom, it's down. So mentioning this, the real price of gold is what we work on, and it goes. Once a great bubble is over, the real price goes up. And the importance, Jim, of the real price of gold going up is that it's related to improving profitability for gold miners. Like, their costs are weak compared to what they're getting for the bullion price. So it makes, it improves earnings for mining operations. And also for evaluating, mineral deposits, like a gold deposit. It helps the evaluation on that because it's just worth more. So it looks like the gold's real price has come down as it should. And then the problem for gold stocks is not just underperforming during the bubble, is that they get hit when the bubble fails, which some of the gold indexes have been weak, but the junior exploration side has been devastated. But at any rate, the gold real price seems to be building a bottom in here, and the unfortunately, it's going to take further financial crises to drive other commodities down. And so, but at any rate, somewhere over the next couple of months, we would expect to find a very good buying opportunity for the gold sector. But in the meantime, we wouldn't even nibble away yet. We'd just wait and let this whole thing clear, because as we're seeing, people are getting first-hand evidence that investments, whether it's in low-grade bonds or all kinds of stocks, once the bubble is over, these things are very hazardous. And even commodities, as I say, let's talk about that cotton and things like that, down 30% in one day. So there's a number of traps out there. And our advice since the beginning of the year was that investors and traders should be becoming as liquid as possible, and veteran traders occasionally play the short side. But at any rate, the point is to have liquidity, 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 and there's still time to take some money off the table.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, and a happy Thursday to you.
And a happy Canada Day.
Indeed, yeah.
And the 4th for our American listeners.
Oh, for sure. It's always a positive time of year with these two state holidays. Yep, I like them.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, he loves answering them. Send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.